When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
So the biggest thing, especially if you're newly diagnosed, allow yourself to grieve. It is a grieving process. Any major life change, you have to grieve. And if you don't grieve, just visualize a thought with water, and you take a ball and you try pushing that ball under the water, it's going to keep trying to pop up. And you pushing that ball down is like you suppressing how you feel about the current situation.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Well, everyone, welcome. We're going to do an impromptu Autoimmune Hour. I know it's going to come on at the regular time and everything like that. But I was just chatting with my friend Crystal Kent, and we both are advocates in our different fields of autoimmunity. We both are long-term advocates and involved in a lot of patient wellness and optimization of our health and well-being. And we were just chatting, and finally we both said at about the same time, you know, we should just record this and make this an eavesdropping conversation type of show. So let me introduce my friend Crystal. She's been on before. She's an Army vet, and she's living with fibromyalgia, arthritis, degenerative disc disease, and other chronic illnesses and chronic pain conditions. And she advocates on behalf of fibromyalgia and veteran communities. And she focuses on awareness, education, and legislative advocacy kinds of things. So anyway, she's just well known for her work all around the world, nationally and internationally. And she's the founder of the Fibromyalgia Pain Chronicles and Veteran Voice for Fibromyalgia. And we could go on and on, but I want to have you meet her. Hi, Crystal. Thanks for letting us just hit record and continue our conversation.
And absolutely. It was, you know what, sometimes those free flowing and impromptu discussions are just, you know, I find them at times to be very insightful and amazing, because you're also sharing experiences that other people listening in may resonate with. So that's why I was like, let's just do it.
Absolutely. Plus, I wanted to reconnect with Crystal, and I hadn't chatted for a while. And one of the things that we were talking about was our own experiences with COVID, but I also wanted to talk a little bit to Crystal about staying connected during this time. I know there's this other surge going on, and some of us live in parts of the world or world where we're more vaccinated than others, etc. I don't feel like I have changed any of my routine all that much. I'm still on just, you know, holding back. And even though parts of me are ready to get it back out there again, but you and I were chatting a little bit about how you keep your community from feeling isolated. And I know you're involved in numerous communities, but let's just chat about some of the things you found that people can do to feel less isolated.
So, well, as you said, like during COVID, and now I feel like we're going into a third phase of COVID in the world, people living with like chronic conditions or autoimmune disorders, cancer, we're kind of used to the lifestyle of kind of hunkering down. Like we do a lot of self-isolation because we don't feel well. I mean, even during flu season, we safeguard ourselves because we know that if someone else that is fully healthy gets the flu, they're sick, for a week or two and then they can move on, but we could be sick for months and end up hospitalized. So there's a lot of stuff that really did not change for me with lockdowns and whatnot.
I know, I've had friends friends without a diagnosis that would make them want to shelter in place complain so much. And I just kind of jokingly said, welcome to my world, but it wasn't really a joke to me.
No, and right, it's not, it's kind of sort of the status quo. And that even before COVID, I had surgery in December of 2019. Normally they keep you in the hospital with the type of surgery I had to get, like it was a cervical surgery and plates in my neck and all this hardware, good times. Normally they keep you, but I was like, I am not staying. Cause at that point we were hearing rustlings in late 2019 about this virus. And I was just like, yeah, I'm not real keen on staying in the hospital. I literally like pushed myself. I was like walking around with the assistance of the nurses 4 hours after I was up in my room after surgery. And the next day they discharged me. And my mom, she stayed with me for 6 weeks after my surgery as I recovered. And I was like, I was ordering groceries and having them delivered. This was before, you know, COVID and shutdowns and everybody sheltering in place and wearing masks. And my mom just looked at me one day. She's like, is this what you do? You just order your groceries. Or if you're like, I don't feel like cooking, I'm going to order dinner and have it delivered. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, how bougie. And I was like, well, that's just how I roll. Because when you have a chronic illness, you've got to kind of balance your energy pennies. So if I can save some of my energy pennies and not grocery shop and have my stuff delivered, okay, then I can reallocate those energy pennies to something else I need to do. So I was doing a lot of the things that people who were not used to doing well before COVID. And then people were asking me like, well, how do you get this? Or how do you do this when you're at home? And I was like, I do a lot of things and connect with people virtually. I always had. So it was kind of like a seamless transition for me. And in light of COVID, like I live by myself. So it's like, yeah, that was kind of super isolating. That was like the more of the downfall or negative for me is that not being around people, I couldn't really be around like close friends or like my mom or anything, because they worked like in industries that, you know, they put them at risk of potentially contracting COVID. And I was like, well, I've been doing a lot of virtual advocacy and awareness for years now, and I'm just going to step it up a notch so that, because I'm sure there's people like myself who are like, I don't have anybody around, or I have to stay away from everybody because they're essential workers. And it's a risk for me to be around them, and using my platform to kind of elevate to keep the community connected in a time, especially at the beginning of COVID, where we didn't really know what it was and what was going on, and really just letting individuals know that, you know, hey, we're still here and we're still connected. This is how we're going to stay in touch and make the best of it and promote awareness and validate people with their struggles, with their illness, and then it being compounded with shutdowns, or a lot of people with chronic illnesses did contract coronavirus. So it was like, okay. So I kind of stepped it up a notch and was doing a lot more on my platforms and social media than I was pre-COVID. And I was already doing a lot, but I was like, okay, we really need to let people know they're not alone and kind of, you know, uplift their spirits, provide some awareness and education, because it was also a prime time where everybody was tuned in. So this is also a silver lining in a dark moment of time, but everybody's glued in to social media, and this is a great time to really start promoting awareness about fibromyalgia, invisible illnesses and invisible disabilities, chronic pain conditions, and putting out all these videos, because like I said, I knew more people. There was going to be a bigger audience. People who would not have necessarily tuned in were, because we were all at home.
Oh, I loved your videos. That was one of the reasons we reconnected. I had seen the latest one that you put out of the invisible illness. And I think it's important for people to understand that and to have some, not just us in the autoimmune community, but I think people in general, I don't know. For me, people seem just a little more anxious and a little more testy these days. And mm-hmm. not quite as, I don't want to say forgiving, but not quite as empathetic as, I'm sorry, but there are a lot of people out there in this world that are suffering with invisible things. They might look fine on the outside, but you don't know. You have no clue what's going on in their life. And like with the majority of people with autoimmune, it's more than one. I'm not going to say everyone because I can't, but the majority of people I've met that have been diagnosed with one have been diagnosed with more than one autoimmune, and we never really know. And so I appreciated that you reached out to your community and had them all do these fun little videos and that you put into a wonderful montage of people talking about their invisible illness.
Yeah, you know, the thing of it is I've always found that people's stories and perspectives are the most powerful, and it humanizes what people are living with and going through. I mean, I can sit there and say, you know, approximately 90% of people living with disabilities are living with invisible ones. Mm-hmm. But I can say that statistic, but actually to show different people living with different invisible conditions that are disabling, it's a whole different visual perspective, and it humanizes it. And then like with the invisible disability awareness video, I actually put that out in October 2020 and honored National Invisible Disabilities Awareness Week. And in it, you know, even though I have fibromyalgia and chronic pain and I'm a veteran, you know, there was people in the video that had rare medical conditions, HIV, sickle cell, you know, all these different conditions that not realizing the overall huge impact it can have on an individual's life and the misconceptions of living with an invisible illness. And that, yes, invisible illnesses can be disabling. And again, it's one of those that a person's story, I could type it out or just let them share it, and it helps resonate with people more. I also feel that people who have been hesitant or who, you know, are afraid to speak about what they're living with, like these videos was a way to connect with them and validate their experience as well. So, I mean, I'm very honored that so many people, because I've put out 4 videos in the past year, and I'm actually honored so many people on each project were like, yes, I want to do this and share my story and allow me to represent so many people and so many communities and it to be diverse and inclusive and promote understanding and empathy. I'm honored and humbled that people were like, yes, I want to work on this project with you. I was like, wow, my mind was blown.
Well, they're really great. And what I appreciate is just having people understand that it's not just one thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like people sometimes lump somebody, a group all together, and it's one thing. Or and watching the videos, honestly, a lot of the people look quite well until they tell you their story. And as you were mentioning, I know here on the Autoimmune Hour, when we have thrivers with autoimmune such as yourself, there's something so empowering about telling our story. And then I get notes back from people saying, wow, when Crystal was on, or, you know, Elizabeth was on, somebody else was on, and just saying, I didn't know that other people were feeling that way too. And it was something relieving that knowing that I wasn't the only one going through something. And I think that's powerful too, to know that sometimes you're not alone.
Yes. And it creates a connection. And again, it's, as weird as it sounds, it was like another silver lining of COVID. Again, everybody was tuned in on social media. And then to realize, like we've always said, you know, there's all these like individuals in the world living with fibromyalgia or living with lupus or living with MS, or this is how many people have cancer in the United States. And again, to say that it is a factual, it helps bring some awareness and education, but to put it in a forum where people see other people talking about different medical facts, stats, their personal experiences with a medical condition, other people living with those conditions really do realize, like, I'm not alone. Because a lot of times people with chronic illnesses and invisible illnesses, they feel alone.
Or they're told it's all in their head, or
right.
they believe certain things that they're told, and they're like, I'm the only one, so I'm not going to talk about it. I don't want to be singled out or whatever that goes through their mind. Because not only oftentimes it's, I'm not saying all medical professionals, but I've had certain medical professionals who reinforce that idea. Get your, you know, big girl panties on. It's all in your head. This mm-hmm. wouldn't be happening if, you know, if you would sort of get it together. And I'm like, I'm so fatigued. I don't even know what to get together, let alone get it together.
Right. You're like, I would love to. That's all we want. And that's why we go to medical providers, because we want to basically, as you said, get it together, get back to where we were before we got sick. And that's why we're going to these providers. And that becomes a very invalidating, but also an emotionally traumatic experience for someone who's living with an illness, trying to get answers, to be told in a nutshell that it's like you're making it up, but it's psychosomatic. It is, fibromyalgia isn't real, because they're not up to speed on fibromyalgia and the medical research and all that, or invalidating stereotypes still permit throughout the medical world, through other systemic platforms and organizations. And when you're constantly hearing that, you finally one day go, well, maybe I am, maybe it is all in my head. Maybe I am a little, maybe it's not what I think it is. Maybe I've concocted this in my mind. But then when you see so many different people and so many different faces and so many different places around the world talking about their experience with said fill in whatever medical condition, and all those people in that medical community are like, oh, I'm not alone. And it's, no, I'm right. It's, I am sick. You know, it's medical gaslighting is what it is.
Oh, I like that, medical gaslighting. That's a great term for it. And although I like to say, instead of, I'm always careful when I use like, I am sick, I'm dealing with, or I have something, to me is different than placing it in that area of identity. I know you've talked about this as well as understanding this idea. I do see people who take their diagnosis on as their identity. Mm-hmm. And that is always has me concerned, that will they be able to find the right care, the right things that work for them to increase their optimization of their health and increase their joy and everything else and happiness, if they take the diagnosis as part of their identity, I am fill in the medical condition, versus I'm dealing with, or I'm, you know, recovering from, or I'm going through,
or I'm a person with, I'm living with. You know, there's a huge like kind of push and pull on that kind of ideology of, you know, some people saying, no, we should be proud. And I'm kind of like, you know, but here's the way it works is, I worked in social services for 20 years. Is that the only thing I am? No.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I always, you know, look at is like when people say I'm a disabled person, I'm like, okay. I will, I think that people don't understand that when you don't put person first, that in long term, we end up desensitizing to the general population and dehumanizing who we are if we are saying disabled person first, because we were a person first before the disability. 99% of the time, some people are born, you know, with a disability, but we have always been a person first. And then everything that happens to us after the fact is, it's part of who we are, but not all of who we are. So, and I tell people, I'm like, you know, a more kind of concrete example that I feel is easier for me to explain is that I get very frustrated when I hear disabled veterans, homeless veterans, needy veterans. I'm like, really? I'm like, how about we say veterans in need? Because they used to never be, they used to at one point not be a veteran. They used to be at one point not be in the military. They used to be at one point not in need. And when you say it like that, you're demoralizing the population you're trying to help. I was like, you would never say a PTSD veteran. So instead of saying homeless veteran or homeless, you know, people, why don't we say people experiencing homelessness or people who are homeless, you know, because that way we will continue, and for lack of a better term, objectify person first and the importance of that person and what's going on with them. And then when you, and there's research that has shown, like, when you reverse it, it's like this desensitization by society. You know, it's like you're subtly and subconsciously kind of reducing in people's subconscious the importance of what the topic is.
Well, if you say disabled person, homeless person, whatever, homeless veteran, somehow that sounds like more of a title, a label, you know, importance, and somehow unsolvable. When you mm-hmm. say a person experiencing homelessness, or a person without a permanent home, or, you know, or a person mm-hmm. with a disability, it sounds like, okay, that's something we can work with. How do we help them with the disability? How do we help them with the homelessness? So I always say to separate those things out, our diagnosis, separate them out, or our condition, or our whatever we're going through in our life. It could be homelessness. It could be any joblessness. It could be any number of things. Take those out of our vocabulary, out of our identity, and you're just experiencing it. You're going through it. You have it currently. And that way it's just, and not only in others hearing it from their own mind, but our own mind goes, yes, we can change the situation. We may not ever we may go into remission. I've been told numerous times by my allopathic medicine doctors, Sharon, you're not cured, you're in remission. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Whatever you want to call it, I feel good. Mm-hmm. You know, you call it what you want to call it, but see, it's not my identity.
So, exactly. You're not a remissioned person of your illness.
Exactly.
Illness is in remission. You know, and the other thing that people don't realize is that, like, with some of, like, the way it's like word placement, and a lot of times it creates, like, if you say homeless veteran or needy person, it delegitimizes the situation. And then it creates this soft stereotype that the person's in the situation that they are at their fault.
Right.
And it dismisses all the variables that have led or cultivated what is going on for, you know, someone who, you know, has become homeless, or, you know, there. And that's, again, what it does is it takes a very complex issue and it simplifies it, and it's never simplified. And then when you're trying to advocate on these complex issues, because we've spent so much time with our language simplifying it, and we bring it to our legislators, like, we need more funding to address these variables, which have been found to increase the risk of someone becoming homeless, or increasing the risk of becoming a victim of assault or increasing the risk of using drugs. And when you simplify things into labels, the way that we're seeing right now, what happens is when we say we need more funding for this, but what in that person's mind, whether it's an organization with the funding, a congressional leader, Senate leader, it has been simplified in their mind because of the language that we're using. And we mean well, but when we're looking at, we got to solve this problem and not understanding those invisible barriers that we've created with our language, because we've watered down the, extent of the issue because we didn't put the person first. And then subtly and subconsciously, people internalize that as not a personal issue, not a societal issue. It's a personal issue with that person.
It's a personal weakness. They were weak, so they got ill. They were weak, and so they lost their job. I mean, to me, sometimes people look at you when they hear those terminologies of, and somehow they like, well, they're weak, they're lesser, they're whatever is. And I get on my high horse on that. And with being on my high horse right now, we need to take a quick commercial break. I know we're just doing this live and sort of impromptu, but we do have to still have to have those commercial breaks. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PINKYCHENILLE.com. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're here with Crystal Kent. She's a dear friend of mine, has been for several years. And we were actually just chatting, catching up, because we hadn't had a chance to catch up for quite a while. And we said, let's record this. And we were just having a great free-flowing conversation just about what it's like to live with an invisible illness. She has been producing during the lockdown and now continuing to produce these really great videos of people that she meets. And talk about invisible illness, invisible disability, and what it's like in putting a human face to these people's stories. And I've just really enjoyed those videos on social media. Crystal is also an Army vet living with fibromyalgia, arthritis, degenerative disc disease, and other chronic illnesses and chronic pain syndrome, as well as she is a tireless advocate for numerous veteran organizations and conditions and Oh my goodness. Also, just a tireless advocate for people with fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, and all other sorts of autoimmune. So she speaks to our legislatures quite a bit about getting on board here, about seeing that a large number of people have untold stories. And Crystal likes to help us tell our stories as well about it. But Crystal, I know you had mentioned when your mom was taking care of you after the surgery and things like that, that you have a lot of workarounds. But one thing you're known for are sort of the inexpensive hacks of dealing with chronic conditions. If I can just quickly tap your brain on that, I know it's sort of impromptu, but what are some of your favorite impromptu kind of inexpensive wellness hacks?
So, you know what? I love aromatherapy, but I'm also very particular about it because a lot of people purchase those diffusers, but you really have to research to make sure the oils you're using can be basically ingested through breathing.
Yes.
So I thought, okay, that is not necessarily a good thing if you don't know the product you're getting, because you could go to Walmart or any store and buy a diffuser that has oils with it, but you don't know the chemical makeup. So I started researching online, like, at home, inexpensive hacks of aromatherapy I could do at home with what I have in my kitchen. And learning, like, if you have cinnamon sticks, and I recommend like Saigon cinnamon, it's like the most potent, but it has like a sweet smell to it. But if you have cinnamon sticks and you have some oranges that are going bad and you grate the orange, you know, rind and zest, and you put on distilled or filtered water. Where I live, the water has more salt content, so it'll burn quicker, or kind of, what is it, evaporate quicker. But so I have a zero water pitcher to filter my water, instead of, which cuts down the price on buying bottled water, and it helps the environment. And so, yeah, a hack is I will boil some cinnamon sticks with some orange zest. The other thing is I love lavender. I love citrusy smells and whatnot. And I was just looking and I was like, you know, buying like these aromatherapy things, they don't last very long, even when they're like organic, all natural. So I found, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to buy actual real lavender. And
I was going to mention that my granddaughter and I are growing lavender. She is, you know, she's just a young, healthy, vibrant young lady, but she just takes a handful of the dried lavender that we've grown in the garden and kind of waves it under her nose.
Right. And actually, and that's also a grounding technique. So I mentioned earlier, I worked in social services, mental health, 20 years. And they talk about like grounding techniques for people who have like anxiety or PTSD. And one grounding technique is smell. And so that's like a double fold self-care, because you're doing some grounding to focus your attention in the here and now by incorporating your sense of smell, using something that is pleasurable to you, like the lavender. And I've actually put dried lavender in my pillowcases. And like when my mom has stayed, or before COVID, when like my really close friend would come visit and I spruce up my guest bedroom, I put dried lavender in the pillowcases. And they're just like, I just feel so relaxed. And it's like zen. It's like a spa here. And it's just like using these little things, like lighting and how you even decorate your home to create an even flow with the air, like feng shui. People come and they're just like, my one friend will call me up and be like, can I just drive up there and just relax? And like, we'll come and visit and literally we'll put on a movie and we just end up taking a nap on the couch, because cultivating this environment that's relaxing. And things like another self-care for myself, especially because I do experience migraine attacks and tension headaches and cluster headaches, is I have like blackout curtains that are temperature control and noise control, like cutting down noise by 70%, so that if I'm not feeling well, or even if I want to watch a fun movie and have like a movie theater experience, I close my curtains.
I got the blackouts, and I got them because of light. I was surprised how well they do temperature controls. During the summer here, they actually keep a fair amount of heat out. I was really pleasantly surprised at bonus. Okay, not only can I, am I not woken up with the roosters, but.
Right, and it's not, okay, so you're gonna have like an upfront cost, but if you're savvy and you shop online, you do comparison, like my one set of blackout temperature control curtains normally at a regular store would have been like $200. And I ended up getting like four panels for 80 because I shopped around online to find the best price because I like design on a dime. So there is some initial cost up front, but over time, especially because they're energy savers, you end up saving money over time, which means you have more money in your pocket that you could put towards things that make you feel good. So like buying a little foot spa, if you want to soak your feet at home with some Epsom salt and it bubbles, you know, you can find that and always comparison price online for like self-care stuff, because you go to a store, you're always going to spend too much. But yeah. And it's like, okay, so in the long run, and that's what I tell people, I'm like, okay, save your pennies, literally. And it seems like it takes forever. But when you really start investing economically with smart choices that are going to help you, and you're like, okay, well, I live in outside of Cleveland, Ohio. It gets really hot and humid in the summers. And because I have these curtains and whatnot, instead of having my AC like on 72, it's on 74, 75. And that saves me money over the summer. And I look at my bill and I say, oh, I saved $10 this month because, or $20 because I didn't have to have my AC on 72. I take that money and I put it aside. I made a good adulting choice and I saved because and did a good job with my adulting choice. I'm putting that money aside for something.
But what, you know, I love, and I think it's important. I find it, since a fair number of women versus men are the ones that statistically have autoimmune, I find a lot of women don't go into the self-care. And I'm glad when I asked about the hacks, you bring up a lot of self-care things. I find too often I get very sad when I hear women put their needs aside for other things. Obviously, if economically it doesn't work for you right now, but I love that you brought up there's some things to make people think about their own self-care. Like, okay, yes, I may have this diagnosis, but there are plenty of things that I can do that make me happy, that enrich my life. You know, even just adding scents and making my home feel like a spa. Wow, how relaxing is that?
Yeah. And it's something as simple as like color choices. It's things that we're already doing. Like if you move into a place or you want to spruce up your living space, you're going to do these things to spruce it up. So being more conscious or aware so that you're creating a more comfortable, inviting, zen-like space. And I understand like some people live in apartments or they have a huge home, so it's not necessarily economical to do every room. Create a space for yourself. You know, make it your bedroom. No electronics in your bedroom. No TV in your bedroom. I know it's hard with having a chronic illness, but one of the self-care techniques I'm very stringent about is my sleep schedule or hygiene, like sleep hygiene schedule. You might hear that, sleep routine. You know, it's like, I know people who will play video games in their bedroom and I'm like, you know, you're creating a space of chaos because that technology gives off energy and it just doesn't dissipate and go away. It stays around a little bit. And scientific research has shown that having those electronics in our sleeping spaces interferes with our brainwaves. So we have enough problems getting refreshing sleep as it is, and we're constantly feeling fatigued. So I try to remove as many of those variables that I can out of my, what I call my safe spaces or my safe zone or my environment. But yeah, a lot of things that are free, like some people, and I see this a lot with men too, especially veterans, like they're like, I have to take care of my family. I have to do this. I have to do this. I said, you can't run from a half empty cup. Okay. If you're not taking care of yourself, especially with an illness or PTSD, you're not going to be able to take care of your family. You need to take time for yourself. You need to carve out time each day, 30 minutes, 60 minutes. You need to carve some time out on the weekend. What do you like to do? What did you used to like to do? I really used to like going out and, you know, hunting or fishing, but it's hard to do that. Or we don't have the money to go boating and go fishing. And I'll be like, how about taking your dog on a slow walk on a nature path? And that way you're out in nature and you're breathing. You know, I'm like, there's sometimes we do have to adjust things because of finances and being clever or creative with trying to create experiences of self-care, along with understanding we don't need to go to, I mean, I do like getting massages, don't get me wrong, but you know, like I found like this massage machine. It's really cool. And you know, not thinking that we would be on this topic, it's too bad I don't have it here by me, but normally at the regular store, it's like $119. I found it at TJ Maxx for $35 and it is awesome. It's like this little, I don't even know how to explain it. It's about yay big and it's got four knobs and you could choose that like kneading or tapping and it's heated. So you could choose to have heat on as well.
Wow.
And I'll sit there and I've used it on my legs. I've used it on my back. Is it the same as going to a spa and getting a nice massage? No. But in light of COVID and then the way sometimes when you're chronically ill, our finances aren't what they used to be. This is for me a good alternative. Meditating is 100% free. There's so many people on YouTube now and social media, especially in light of COVID, who were teaching people guided meditation so that they could have this skill free of charge. And I'm just like, just try it. I'm like, I tell people, there's not every little like self-care hack that I like. It doesn't resonate with me, but I always try something three times before making my mind up. You know, and I think it, unless it's like, you know, you're like, I'm going to boil some cinnamon sticks and then you find out you're allergic to it. Okay, then stop after the first time. But generally speaking, try something three times because that way you'll know it's either third time's the charm or three strikes you're out. And you can say that you legitimately invested time to figure out if this is a good self-care technique for you. And if it's not, okay.
But I have to say for you at this time, because I know at one time with my skin condition, when I had the skin condition and all, et cetera, it was just, the meditation was just uncomfortable. I can't tell you why, but it was just like, yeah, no, this isn't happening. But I enjoy meditating now. So like if, unlike with the allergy to cinnamon or whatever, that could be a little life threatening. If it's sort of mundane, like meditating or journaling or something like that, maybe it's not right for you now, but just don't throw it out forever because maybe down the road, you're like, well, wow, I learned a new way to meditate or I learned a more interesting way to journal or something. So don't throw it away forever.
I love music and I know some people, it's like meditating isn't for them and that's cool, but I'll be like, hey, go on YouTube and look up Metaverse, which is they make this music that's for meditating. Don't meditate, but take 30 minutes, turn off the lights, boil your cinnamon sticks or you know, get some lavender, just lay there for 30 minutes in a darkened room and just listen to the music. And it's just so like, and I've had people come back and say, okay, meditating's not my thing, but I could totally do this for 30 minutes listening to this music in a darkened room with some aromatherapy. It was all free at their home. And I love nature, but I live outside of Cleveland, Ohio. Winter is not kind here. So I'm not going to go out into nature when it's 20 below zero. So there's times where I'll put on music that are nature sounds, except for water, because then that makes me want to go to the bathroom. Put on nature sounds, I'll darken the room and I just visualize like past walks that I've taken with my dogs, or like certain areas that I'd have that moment of my breath being taken away because I went over the little hill and we came across the creek. And I visualize those things when I can't go for a walk, either due to weather or physically, I just can't do it that day. So I'm keeping some piece of what I love with me in some form so that I can relax at home.
I love that. When Crystal and I get together, especially now that we're actually paying attention to the clock because of commercials, we have to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Jump right in. Crystal Kent and I, she's a longtime friend. We've just been sharing some free-flowing thoughts. We actually were just chatting, two friends chatting, when we said, hey, let's record this and have a show. So we're going to just jump in. One of the things, Crystal, I wanted to make sure and talk about is, you know, empowerment. One of the things I find, and I know you and I have talked about this before, is sometimes when you hear that diagnosis or you get into that, we talked about identity already. Sometimes people make it your identity, that kind of thing. What are some ways that you found it? You're an advocate in so many areas, everything from invisible illnesses to veterans issues, not just around diseases, but all sorts of veterans issues. I consider you an expert in empowerment, Mike. You've taken the reins of some pretty sad news throughout your life and really gone out there and made a new life for yourself. So what are some tips you have if people are saying, well, I don't know, empowerment's kind of too much right now.
Right. Or I don't feel I'm important or whatnot. So the biggest thing, especially if you're newly diagnosed, allow yourself to grieve. It is a grieving process. Any major life change, you have to grieve. And if you don't grieve, just visualize a box with water and you take a ball and you try pushing that ball under the water, it's going to keep trying to pop up. And you pushing that ball down is like you suppressing how you feel about the current situation. And eventually it's just going to go. You got to kind of meet yourself in real time and allow yourself to feel your feels, right? Allow yourself to grieve. In that process, I suggest what I've seen helps others is maximizing the positive aspects of social media and connects with people, whether they're like healthcare influencers or advocates on social media that are active listeners, post things that make you feel validated or heard, or getting some educational support about your illness, because following those people, eventually you will start to feel connected to that community or that page or that group. Join a group. I'll tell you, so many times I've told people, why don't you just create a group? You have friends I see on Facebook, let's say, that you all live with fibromyalgia why don't you create a group with just you all so that you can chit chat in that group? Call it whatever you want. It doesn't have to be about fibro, but you can also create a social network and realize that there are people out there like us who are feeling the same way.
Yeah, we met on social media.
And two like-minded people passionate about many things and different things and coming together. Yeah. And the other thing is, and you brought something up great, like writing articles or blogging, your experiences or how you feel. And you don't necessarily have to share it publicly, but sometimes journaling and writing that out, and it helps you channel what you're feeling and what you're thinking and help you kind of think more clearly on your next steps.
I mean, also for me, I see my progress. One time I was having a particularly bad patch. Really, the flare was like, ugh. And I was talking to my doctor, and she was wise enough to point out to me, well, and she pulls out the medical records, and she's like, look, we started here. So you were way down in the valley here, and you're up on the mountain here, and you've only slipped back a couple of steps. You're not down in this valley. And if she hadn't had that sort of written in my face kind of moment, it was so nice in a way. I was like, you're right. I'm not down in that valley
anymore. Right. And sometimes, and it's also a good accountability for us as well. Like if we see our mood is going down, we can track that and be like, okay, what's going on that I'm allowing myself or my mental mojo to slip? What's going on? What do I need to address? Or do I need to kind of, you know, refocus or cut some things out of my life? Because earlier I was telling you that you're right, I do all these things and I got to phase some things out so I'm not stretched too thin and overspending my energy pennies. Otherwise, it affects my mood, affects me physically, and I can't stay empowered if I'm impacting my health in a negative way. And I know you and I are both really big on self-patient education on our illnesses, and that really is an empowerment tool. And some of our illnesses are very unknown, or there's a lot of misinformation, and it's really a job in itself. But you know, research online, connect with people like patient experts on social media who really have a handle and understanding of the illness so that you can self-educate yourself. So when you go to the doctors, you're number one going to know if they're a good medical provider or not based on what they're telling you. Or, you know, you're going to have a better understanding with what they're talking about or what they're suggesting, or you'll know how to articulate questions.
Although I have to say, Crystal, you vet your information because there's a lot of questionable information. So when you do your own research, make sure that you're reading the latest of the good quality research.
Right. I'll be honest, I avoid blogs that just reshare medical information. I've noticed like they don't go back and update. Like it'll be like some article about fibromyalgia they're sharing from 2014, and there's a lot more information out now. So I always say, if it's something within 3 to 5 years, okay, there's going to be at least some correct information in there. But if you're going to look at something from 20 years ago, the amount of research on any condition has probably changed the course of understanding of some medical conditions. So yeah, I know like cancer is a good one. Breast cancer. If you're going to read stuff from the 60s about breast cancer, it's way out of date. Yeah. Try to read stuff that's more current.
And talk about current. We're down to the last minute. I wanted to tell people how they can find you, Crystal, and we'll have to take this up at another time. But I hope everybody enjoyed just our free-flowing conversation here.
You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube at the Fibromyalgia Pain Chronicles and Veteran Voices for Fibromyalgia, or you could just Google my name and fibromyalgia will pop up and you'll see everything there. So
yeah, she's all over social media. So thank you so much, Crystal. That's Crystal Kent. Check it out. It's with a K, both her name, Crystal and Kent. So check out Understanding Autoimmune. You'll see the show listing there. You'll see how we spell her name. Then you can find, and I'll put her Facebook listing up there as well, so you can find her there. And everyone, have a great week, whatever your adventures. Thanks for listening in and joining us just for this, what it's like to live with a diagnosis. And we'll see you next week. Take care.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.